Ready to worship and to serve Him tonight, do what God would have us to do. Bible tells me that to obey is better than to sacrifice. And we need to obey the Lord tonight and everything that He would place upon our heart to do, because He knows what needs to be done here tonight. And let's just follow the Lord. I certainly ask for your prayers this evening. And as Brother Spurgeon has already said, and I want to join in with him and welcome everyone. We're so thankful on behalf of Fairview Memorial. We're thankful to have our visitors tonight. And we want you to feel welcome. And if you know the Lord and the pardon and forgiveness of sin, we want you to just join in and worship with us and help us and be willing to do what the Lord would have you to do as well. I want to read some scripture. If you have your Bibles and would like to read with me, I'm going to ask you to turn to the second chapter of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2, I would like to read together the first 8 verses of that chapter for a scripture reading this evening. I want to say also before I go any further, and before I begin to read, I want to thank the Lord for the sermons that we've heard that Brother Ron has brought, and I'm thankful for the way that God has used him. And I just pray that the Lord will bless his word tonight as well. 1 Timothy chapter 2 says, I exhort therefore that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And as I said, that is reading for a scripture reading this evening, the first 8 verses of 1 Timothy chapter 2. And I want to talk tonight about getting saved. And I want to use these words tonight as a title, When I Got Saved. When I Got Saved. And I'm saying that about me, and I want you to think about that about you tonight. If you are here tonight and you're blessed enough that you know the Lord and a pardon and forgiveness of sin, I want to ask you tonight to think about the time that the Lord saved your soul. I believe it's very important as God's people that we do that every day, that we reflect every day, that we take time. And I know that people live busy lives, but I think it's very important that we take time every day to reflect upon the time that God saved our soul. If we will do that, we will stay closer to the Lord. If we'll do that, we'll be more thankful, and we will be more excited and stirred up spiritually than we will be if we just get busy and let the devil get in our minds and cause us to forget who we are and what the Lord has done for us. And so I believe it's very, very important that we reflect upon what God did for us when He saved us. And you know, it has amazed me it was 44 years ago that I got saved. I got saved in the summer of 1973. And some of you here tonight have been saved longer than that. Some of you have not been saved that long. But it amazes me how that God can bring that back to us and it can be so fresh. I mean, it can be like if it's been years ago that you got saved, God can bring that to our memory and it just seemed like it happened yesterday. And it has also amazed me, and I've heard people testify of this, but of having witnessed this same thing. But it amazes me how that people can, because of age and because of things concerning their health, that people's mind can begin to lose the memory of things that have happened in their life, and yet in the midst of all that, they can always remember the day that the Lord saved them. And I remember one, and I've shared this before, I remember one time in particular many years ago. I think I had maybe been preaching about 2 years, and I was preaching at some nursing homes there in Indiana. And there was an older gentleman there in the nursing home, and his name was Enos. And he would come every time I would go there and have service, he would come. He would be there every time. And he had never said anything to me. And so one time I was there having service, and the next thing I know, I hear somebody shouting. And I looked, and it was Enos, and he was walking back and forth in front of me, and he was shouting. And so I talked to him after service, and he told me about the time that the Lord saved him and related a wonderful experience. And I remember him telling me, he looked right at me, eye to eye, and he said, "Brother Miller," he said, "I can't remember where I was living a year ago." But he said, "I can remember when the Lord saved me." And that's amazing. You know, God, he really impacts us when he saves us, doesn't he? It's like nothing else that we've ever experienced. And so I want you to think about when the Lord saved your soul. Now, the scriptures here in these verses that I've read from 1 Timothy, in the fourth verse, we find here the reason that we were able to get saved. We were able to get saved. We had the opportunity to get saved because God wanted to save us. And I want you to know something here. If you're here tonight and you're lost, I don't want you to be confused about this at all. God wants to save you. You may have been seeking the Lord for a while, and you may have not yet reached the point where you've been able to surrender all. Perhaps you have not been saved yet, but I want you to know this. You can rest assured that God wants to save you. And listen, if God did not want to save us, then there'd be no salvation for any of us, because he's the only one that can save us. And so I'm thankful. I mean, this is a powerful statement that the apostle made in his writing there to the young preacher Timothy, when he said that God would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, listen, that means the God that saved me, he wants to save everybody. The God that saved me, he wants to save my children, my grandchildren, great-grandchildren. God wants to save you tonight if you're here and you're lost. And the reason that God wants to save you is because that he loves you. Listen, if God did not love this world would be doomed. If God had not loved this world, and we can't really understand why that God loved this world, the Bible tells us that the love of Christ is a love that passes knowledge. You know, I know this. I know that God loved us, and I know that he does love us, but I really can't figure out why. He just loves us. There's nothing about us that was deserving of his love. There's nothing about us that was deserving of his salvation. Listen, that's one thing that all of us have in common. Tonight, if we begin to tell our testimonies, those of us who have been saved, if we begin to tell our testimonies, we would find out that there are things that are different. We were in perhaps different places when we were saved. We were in different circumstances when we were saved. But there are things that are common with all of us that have been saved. And that is one of those things that's common, is that there's not one of us that was worthy of the Lord's salvation. Not one of us deserved it. And I know this, if you're here tonight and you're lost, you don't deserve to be saved. You don't merit salvation, but God is gracious and he's merciful and he wants to save. And God looked down upon a world that he looked down upon mankind whom he had created and given all things that they needed and had not been willing to obey him, but had blatantly disobeyed him. Yet God looked down from heaven and loved sinful man so much that the Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And you can rest assured, if God did not want to save, he certainly would not have sent his Son to this world to suffer the things that he did, to suffer at the hands of sinful men, to be taken and to be nailed to a cross. If God did not want to save sinners, he certainly would not have put himself in the position where he looked at his Son when he was hanging on the cross and heard him say, my God, why have you forsaken me? He wouldn't have done any of that if he did not want all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. The Apostle Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 3, in the first 10 verses of that chapter, in summary, he tells us about how that in the last days there's going to come those who will make fun of the coming of the Lord. There's going to be those, he said, in the last days that would be scoffers, walking after their own lust and mocking the Lord and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were. Where is he? We've heard this. We've heard about his return. Where is he? Peter said there would be those that would mock that and make fun of that and scoff at that. But he said that the Lord would keep his promise. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. And what he's talking about there is that he's not slack concerning the promise that he made that he would come again. The Lord is not slack concerning that promise. Verse 10 says, but the day of the Lord will come. He's going to keep that promise. But the reason, the Apostle Peter tells us that the reason that he hasn't come yet is because he's long-suffering. God is long-suffering, and the reason that he's long-suffering is because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, you know what? It's not for me to stand up here and make fun of anything that anybody believes, but I'm just going to tell you what I think. I believe that the doctrine, the false doctrine
that people teach that the Lord only died for the elect, that the Lord only died for certain ones, and that they were ordained to eternal life from the beginning of time, and they're the only ones that are going to be saved. I believe that doctrine is ridiculous. The Bible tells me time and time and time again that the Lord came and died for everybody. He doesn't want anybody to lose their soul. He doesn't want anybody slip out of this life lost and without the Lord. And I believe that's proven to us in the fact that the Bible tells us that hell wasn't really even made for humanity. It was made for the devil and his angels. And I'll tell you what, everybody that has already died and gone to that awful place, and everybody that will die and go to that awful place, they will be there against the wishes of Almighty God. He doesn't want anybody. I guarantee you tonight, my lost friend, he doesn't want you to die lost and in your sins and spend an eternity in eternal damnation. He doesn't want that. He has done everything necessary in order for you to be saved. There were things that I experienced. There have been things that I experienced, and I'm so glad that I did. The Holy Spirit of God began to speak to me when I was just young. I was blessed to sit under the sound of the gospel at a young age, and the Holy Spirit began to deal with me. And I was made to realize by the working of the Holy Spirit, by His power of conviction, I was made to realize that I was a sinner and that I was in need of a Savior. God made me to know that. Listen, that's not the work of men. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said it's the Holy Spirit that will reprove. It's the Holy Spirit that will convict. He will reprove the world of judgment. He'll reprove the world of righteousness. He is the one that will let us know when we are lost and without Him. Brother Spurgeon, I believe, maybe it was last night, touched on these scriptures. But listen, there are things that the scriptures teach us, and there are things that the scriptures say to us about salvation that I can read those verses and I can hear those verses and I can relate to them because I experienced them. And I'm telling you, somebody that just picks up the Bible and reads it and has never experienced it, they're not going to know what David was saying there in the 116th Psalm. But listen, a person that has been convicted of their sins by the Holy Spirit and has been forgiven and has been saved is able to relate. Listen, I can relate tonight to what he was saying there because when God, when I was lost, when God made me to realize that I was a sinner, when the Lord would speak to me and deal with me, I was afraid. I can't even express to you how much fear the thought of death brought to me in that condition. You know, people say, well, you know, you can't scare somebody into salvation. Well, I don't know where that saying ever really came from, but I'm going to tell you this. If you're lost, you better be afraid. You've got reason to fear because your soul is in danger. And the fear of death was real. In my lost condition, the fear of death was real. I remember times between the age I first began to seek the Lord. I didn't really begin to seek the Lord until I was about 15. I realized before that I was lost, but I began to seek Him about the age of 15. And I remember from then until when I got saved at the age of 18, there were times it seemed like that I couldn't think about anything but how afraid that I was to die. I mean, it was miserable. It was miserable for me. I know what this means. The sorrows of death compass me. I know, I experienced that. The pains of hell got hold upon me, and I found trouble and sorrow. Listen, there have been things in my life that have troubled me, and other things in my life that have troubled me, and I expect have things trouble me as long as I live in this world, because Jesus told us in the world we're going to have trouble, in the world we're going to have tribulation. But listen, there's never been anything that troubled me the way that I was troubled when my soul was lost. The sorrows of death were real to me. They compassed me. The pains of hell got hold up on me, and I found trouble and sorrow. And I'm telling you what, it wasn't trouble like you experience when your car breaks. I had great inner turmoil in my heart. You know what I'm talking about? I knew I was lost. I was like Adam. I can relate to what Adam said when he had sinned against God. And the Bible says that they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam was, he hid himself. Why? Because he was afraid. He hadn't been afraid of God's voice before that. He had communed with God before that time. But when he had sinned against God and he heard the voice of the Lord, he said, I hid myself in the garden among the trees of the garden because I was afraid. That's what I was. When the Lord would speak to me about my soul, I was afraid. You know, I'm glad, I'm thankful that that there were people in my life that told me the truth. I'm glad there were preachers that stood up before me and just preached the truth, just the simple truth. I'm glad that there were people that told me what I would have to do in order to be saved. I'm thankful that there were people that instructed me not to let somebody lead me astray or not to let somebody deceive me, but to go to the Lord for the salvation of my soul. Because listen, the night that I got saved, I wasn't in church. I've told you that many times. I was in my apartment there, and you know, I mean, the Lord just arrested my heart that night. And when that happened to me, I had been given all the instruction that I needed in my life. I knew what I had to do. I knew I had to go to the Lord, Brother Ronnie. I knew He was my only hope. And I'm thankful for the ones that had told me that. Listen, lost friend, I'm trying tonight to tell you that the best thing that you can ever experience can happen to you right here tonight. You know why? Because God wants to save you. He wants to make you one of His. You know, listen, when God's people gather like this, when we're blessed enough to see somebody seek the Lord and get saved, when we're blessed enough to hear somebody testify of how that God just saved them boy, it makes us happy. It makes us feel good when we hear that. We rejoice in the salvation of others. But I'll tell you what, there's nobody as pleased with the salvation of a soul as God is, because he's the one that gave everything. He's the one that has done everything in order for you to be saved. And God gets happier than anybody. The Bible says there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels in heaven over a sinner that repents. But the joy that God feels is the greatest of all. He's the one that gave everything in order for you to have a way of salvation. Well, you know, I'm thankful for conviction. I don't believe people will come to God without it. I think that, you know, I'll just be honest with you. I think that people that just decide within themselves that they're going to just make a decision for the Lord, they're just going to make a change in life, they're just going to reform themselves, they're going to accept Christ, and that's all that there is to it. I believe that they are deceiving their own souls. But listen, God, in the working of His Holy Spirit, through the preaching of the gospel. And I believe that that's the reason, certainly, why a lot of times it's hard to get a lost person to come and sit under the sound of the gospel, because it condemns. Listen, it won't make you feel good about your condition. It'll make you feel bad. You know, before God saved me, there's something that he did, and it's also spoken of in that psalm. David said, I was brought low. Remember that? I was brought low, and he helped me. I love the Lord because he's heard my voice and my supplications. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow then. You know, that's the condition that people get in that will cause them to call upon the Lord. David said, when the sorrows of death compassed me, the pains of hell got hold upon me, and I found trouble and sorrow, then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. You know what David admitted in that? He admitted that he became a beggar before the Lord. He was begging God. He was beseeching the Lord. He was begging him to deliver his soul from that sorrow and from that fear that he was feeling. And bless your heart tonight, I can relate to that. I became a beggar before God. I'm not ashamed to tell you that. I became a beggar before the Lord. I told you the other night, and I hope nobody misunderstands me. I'm telling you my experience right now. But I mentioned this the other night, that that night before the Lord saved me, I remember this so well. I just forgot. I forgot about everything. I talked to Brother Gene Edwards today. He was telling me about when he got saved out in the field. And he said, when I was out there in that field, he said, I just forgot about everything except getting saved. That's what happened to me. I mean, everything else just went away. And all I could think about was finding peace. All I could think about was getting rid of this burden that was in my soul and being saved and finding peace. And listen, when I was there on my knees and I was crying out to God very loudly, you don't have to be vocal. got to come from your heart. But I was very vocal. I was crying out to God with very loud words and begging him to save me. And you know what? That's all I was thinking about. I wasn't trying to figure out how the Lord was going to do it or how he was going to look. I wasn't thinking of any of that. I just knew that I needed relief. I needed to be saved. And David went on and said, when he said, "Then called I upon the name of the Lord," and I'm glad I can relate to this. "Then called I upon the name of the Lord, O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul." He said, "Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. I was brought low, and he helped me." God helped me. He saved me. He said, "Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee." Listen, when you got saved, God dealt bountifully with you, didn't he? Amen. Amen. He does that for all of us. "The Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling." And you've heard many people say it, and I have the same thing to share with you tonight. I was lost. I was condemned. I was seeking the Lord. I was begging him to save me. And just like that, it was all gone. All that sorrow, all that pain, all that guilt was just gone. And you know what? It never has returned. I've never felt, my soul has never experienced that since God took it away. It's good to be saved. I experienced what the 40th Psalm says. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and placed my feet upon a rock, and established my goings, and put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God." I couldn't praise the Lord until he had done that. But after he touched me, I could. I could praise him. He put a new song in my mouth, and that song was praise. As Brother Ron said, "Praise ye the Lord." God is great, and he is greatly to be praised. Listen, if you've been saved, like I said, some of you may have been in church. Brother Ron spoke last night about him and I having grown up in Indianapolis. There was a man up there that I heard testify about. He got saved when he was in the Navy in a submarine. God can save anywhere. He can save anywhere. You may have been in a church service. You may have been in a revival service. You may have been out in a field. You may have been in a ditch. You may have been stretched out on your bed. I mean, we've heard people testify of getting saved in all different places. But what we get is forgiveness of sin and peace with the Lord. And that's what you need tonight, lost friend. You need forgiveness of sin, and you need peace with the Lord, and you need that in your heart. You need God to deal with you to where you can stand up and say, "When I got saved." Let me tell you about when I got saved. Because you've got to have your own experience. We read about a man that got saved, nailed to the cross right next to Jesus. Isn't that something? The last thing he experienced in this life was the Lord telling him, "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." That's the last thing that man heard in this world, I suppose. "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." God can save anybody, anywhere, anytime. Why? Because he wants to. Because he loves you. And because he is able to. And because he made a way for you to be saved. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 says, he is able to save them to the uttermost. When you got saved, how much salvation did you get? How much did God save you? He saved you to the uttermost. He saved you as much as you can be saved. He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Why? Why is the Lord able to do that? Because he ever liveth to make intercession for them. What did Paul say to Timothy? There's one God, and there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Why did a God that's so complex, so full of power, the Almighty, the omnipotent God, why did a God that can do everything only make one way for people to be saved? Because that's all that's needed, isn't it? That one way is sufficient to save the whole world. You know what that way is? It's Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He also said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall come in and out and find pasture. I told you, Brother Strode, if you would get a song ready. I told you at the beginning of the meeting that Brother Ron and I, we're not here to preach ourselves. We're here to preach Jesus. And you need him. Everybody needs him. He's your greatest need. Sister Collins, the song that she sung last night is right. People need the Lord. You need the Lord. If you're lost tonight, it's your greatest need. You need the Lord. And this is not a game. This is serious. And you need to seek the Lord with all your heart. You need to trust him as the only way of salvation. If you don't trust him with all your heart, you're not going to get it. You're not going to get saved until you trust him with all your heart. I want to invite you to an old-fashioned mourner's bench to pray. Come and seek the Lord. Come and let God's people pray with you. But you know what? This bench won't save you. That bench back there won't save you. This church won't save you. You're going to have to come all the way to Jesus.
Amen.
In order to be saved. That's what we all had to do. We had to come all the way to Jesus. Let's sing. Let's follow the Lord and come to Jesus. He wants to give you eternal life while we sing.
Number 200. My soul in sad exile was out on life's sea, so burdened with sin and distress, till I heard a sweet voice saying, make me your choice, and I entered the
sees no more. A
tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep, in Jesus I'm safe evermore.
Before we continue to sing, I want to say this. You know, people ask, I was asked this question last night. People ask this. They said, how will I know? How will I know when I get saved? Sometimes we say, you'll know. That's a good answer. You will know. But you know, the scriptures tell us exactly how we'll know. It was how I knew. If you've been saved, it was how you come to know. The Apostle Paul said, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And nobody needs to settle for anything short of that. You're going to stand before God one day. And listen, you don't want to stand before Him and try to convince Him that somebody else told you about your salvation. You need the Lord to tell you. You need to seek the Lord until He tells you that it's all right with your soul. The Holy Spirit lets us know when He saves us.
Verse 2.